What I'd like to do today, if with your permission, is focus on the issues of Chanukah and use a Torah that I've heard from the Rav to really develop the point based on the Shita of the Rambam. So if we can open our handout and turn to source number one. Source number one, the Hakdama that the Rambam has in Mishneh Torah, he accentuates the role that Chanukah is to play, let me take a step back. In source number one, the Rambam explains his raison d'etre for writing the Mishneh Torah. So look at source number one, and why don't you tell me what the Rambam says here. It's not the whole introduction. By the way, when I was in Shalvim, I went through all the Rambam's introductions to Chelek, Avos, Shmona Parakim, to the Mishnayos. It was a wonderful thing. If you haven't done that yet, I would recommend you finding some time to go through the various introductions that the Rambam has to various parts of Shas. So what does the Rambam say here in his Hakdama to Mishneh Torah? What's his purpose of the Mishneh Torah? Anyone? Yes.
So that you will need to make Torah Shabbat that clear and simple to learn.
To organize Mishneh Torah in some way similar to the way Torah Shabbat Tav, that there should be one book that really collects all of Mishneh Torah, and he says something that actually gets him in some significant trouble. At the end, look what he writes. Lefika karati shem chibur ze Mishneh Torah, therefore I've called this chibur Mishneh Torah. Lefisha adam korei b'torah shebektav tchila. First you can read the Tanakh, which by the way Rabbi Libor in my time had a project that we studied two parakim of Tanakh every single day. I don't know if you guys still does it? Okay. Probably the first time and maybe the last time you go through Tanakh. V'achakach korei b'zeh, and then you can read V'achakach korei b'zeh, and then you read my book. V'yodea mimenu, and you'll know Torah Shebaal Peh kula. You'll know all of Torah Shebaal Peh. And here's the piece that he gets in trouble for. V'einu tzarech likro sefer acher b'nehem, and then you don't need to read any other book. In other words, basically trying to indicate that perhaps you don't even have to go through Shas, because you'll read the Mishneh Torah, it will collect all of the other issues, all the halachot in an organized way. This is the, you know, the cliff notes or the, what are the notes that you guys used in high school? What? Spark notes. This is the spark notes for Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay? So we have to understand that this is the role of the Rambam. The Rambam and the Mishneh Torah. Now, it's interesting that you begin to see that in many ways. You see that in the way the Rambam, and the Rav would point this out to us, in the Rambam and Sefer Zmanim. The Rambam and Sefer Zmanim collects all the halachot of the Chagim, and he follows a basic Jewish calendar order, except when it comes to Megillah and Chanukah. So if you look at source number two, you'll see the Rambam deviates from the calendar order, first puts Megillah and then Chanukah. The Rambam does something else, and that is Megillah and Chanukah are not in two separate files or two separate chapters. They're under one koteret. They're under one narrative. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, who codifies many years later, you'll see the Shulchan Aruch follows the calendar order, and that is Chanukah and Purim. And Chanukah and Purim are not in under one narrative, but rather there's Chanukah and then there's Purim. So why do you think that the Rambam deviates from the calendar order, and the Rambam, who is the quintessential codifier of Torah Shebaal Peh, decides to put them together in one chapter? Why do you think that's the case? Nope. Based on the introduction. Yes. They're both Durabbanan?
Yeah.
So maybe we would put a few other things in there that are Durabbanan, but Ryu. What else? What other reason? It's a good idea, but let's take it one step further. They're both Durabbanan. Let's take your idea and go a step further. What's your name?
Josh Azar.
Josh Azar. Okay, Josh. So tell me, Josh, what do you think, what do you mean when they're both Durabbanan? We're both running holidays. And more than that?
Well,
More than there's just Rabbanan holidays is what?
The lower category thing, so people beyond.
Okay. But I think there's something more than that. And that is that the holiday that has the biggest challenge to be entered into the Jewish calendar is Purim. And Hanukkah actually does not have a challenge because Purim paves the way. Look at the next page. And the source is there. Source number 4. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Shulcha Lehem LeEsther Shulcha Lehem LeEsther Chachamim. Esther sends a Chachamim Kavuni LeDoros. Establish me for generations. They say, what do you mean? If we establish it for generations, we're concerned about the following. We're concerned that the nations of the world you'll create anti-Semitism. Why? The nations of the world will say, why should you, that we still live in Galut. It's inappropriate for you to publicize this. Kina atno reret olenu b'na umot. You'll create kina, jealousy amongst the nations. So Esther writes back, don't worry about it. It's already publicized in the Chronicles of Madayim Paras. And then the Gemara in source number 5 explains that there were 48 prophets and 70 prophetess, and they all gave Navi to Israel, except they all gave prophecy to Israel. No one added and no one took away from the Torah, except Purim, except Esther, who tried to establish this new holiday that may have been perceived as Baal Tosef, the establishment of Purim. And by the way, if you read through Megillas Esther, you'll see that the final statements or the final conversations in the last parak of Megillas Esther repeats more than once the establishment of the holiday of Purim. And you'll see the Rishonim discuss. The reason why it's repeated more than once is because initially it wasn't a holiday that was accepted by all. It slowly became part of the tapestry of the Jewish people. It wasn't accepted right away. So the point that I'm trying to communicate here is that Purim is really the holiday that paves the way for Hanukkah. And what's the conclusion? Does anyone know the conclusion of why Purim became permitted to establish? Why is it now Baal Tosef? Anyone know? It's a child of which holiday? Which holiday? New? Anyone? Pesach. If the Jewish people are saved from slavery, we celebrate. Surely the Jewish people are saved from total annihilation. We should celebrate. And so Purim becomes the matir of Hanukkah. Therefore the Rambam has it, because the Rambam's goal is what? The Rambam's goal is to teach you the codification of all Torah Shabbat. So therefore the Rambam starts with the laws of Purim and then continues with the laws of Hanukkah. And by the way, look at source number 6. Halacha Gimel, Halacha Dalet. What does the Rambam do in Halacha Gimel and Halacha Dalet when he establishes, when he talks about and he mentions the laws of Hanukkah? What language does he use there? What is the nuance in the language that he uses there that accentuates this point? I've actually made it easier for you because I've actually underlined some of it. What language does he use? Who? Yes.
He seems to compare Hanukkah and Purim a lot.
Not a lot. All the time. Anytime he introduces a halacha, he does that. What does he say? He says, "Nezet kinu chachamim shabot odar." We established the holiday of Hanukkah, and he says, "V'yam me'elu nikraim Hanukkah." These days are called Hanukkah. V'heim asurim behesped utainis. They're forbidden for eulogies and fasting. What's the next words? No? Kimei Purim. Because if it's forbidden to have fast days and eulogies on Purim, it's forbidden to have it on Hanukkah. And who, and the lighting of the candles, halakat neirot, it is a mitzvah medivrei sofrim. Why? Kikriyat ha-Megillah. Like reading the Megillah. Who is Chayiv in Neirot Hanukkah? Kol Shechayiv, B'Kriyat HaMegillah, only those people who are obligated in Kriyat HaMegillah, Chayiv Adlakat Neir Hanukkah. Because you cannot extend the bandwidth of Neirot Hanukkah larger than its matir, and that is the holiday of Purim. And by the way, look at sources 1 and 2, source Halacha Aleph and Halacha Bet of source number 6. What is the Rambam doing that over there? What's he doing in Halacha Aleph and Halacha Bet? He's telling you what? the history of Hanukkah. Does the Rambam tell you the history of the story of Purim? Did he tell you the history or the story of Pesach? Why just Hanukkah? Yes.
No sefer. Yes.
More than that, there's no sefer. It's not part. Purim is part of Torah Shebichtav. The story of Hanukkah is part of what? Torah Shebichtav. What's the Rambam's mandate? To codify all of Torah Shebichtav, not just the laws. He's not just an ordered table like the Shulchan Aruch. His job is to codify all of the oral tradition. And so therefore, if there's a story that is part of the oral tradition, it's his responsibility to include that in his Mishnah Torah. And by the way, and we'll get back to this, hopefully, and that is Halacha Hey, Halacha Vav, Halacha Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, Yudal, Yudet, and the next page, all are the Halachas of Hallel. The Rambam does something very interesting. He does not put the Halachas of Hallel by Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam puts all the Halachas of Hallel by Hilchos Chanukah. One would think that in some ways, one would think that the Rambam, like, God forbid, he forgot. He was going through Hilchos Tefillah and he forgot the Halachas of Hallel, and therefore he puts it here. Why does the Rambam put all the halachas of Hallel, all the halachas of the prayer of Hallel, smack in the middle of the laws of Chanukah, Mashmita Etar Sinai? Why is he putting them here? What is the reason? What is the impetus for the Rambam to do this? Something to think about. So this is by way of introduction to what I really want to focus on, and that is source number 8. Source number 8 is the Gemara in Shabbos, which speaks about the halachas of Chanukah. Other than one place in Ezekiel where it mentions the idea of Chanukiyot in the Rishus HaRabim and halachot that have to deal with Ezekiel and those nights, this is the place where Chazal put all of the halachas of Chanukah and Hilchot in the Sefer Shabbos. So let me ask you a question. If you were putting together Shas, where would you put the laws of Chanukah? Where might be some other places you would put it? Or would everyone just put it in the Masechet Shabbos? What?
Megillah.
Or Tainus. A chapter, a tractate that is dealing with rabbinic holidays. Why is it in the middle of Shabbos? Okay, they both have candles, they both have wicks, they both have this, they both have that, but is there a larger message that Chazal have? This is what Rabbi Soloveitchik focused on for several hours, and we're going to do this in a few minutes. Is there a larger message that Chazal had in trying to insist that the laws of Chanukah had to be put in the middle of the tractate of Shabbos? That's question one. Question two. By the way, how much time do I have? Okay, fine. Question number two. What's Machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel about how you light the candles? One says you go from 1 to 8, one says you go from 8 to 1. What's the reason of Beit Shammai says you go to 8 to 1? What's the reason? What? It's in the Gemara, just look at it. What's the reason? Yes. Connected what? Which karbanos? Sukkos. That in Sukkos you decrease the amount of sacrifices. Parei Achag. What's the connection between Sukkos and Chanukah? Why does Beit Shammai use that as his paradigm? What's the connection between the two? And here's another. So we have one machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel regarding the lights of Chanukah, where Beit Shammai says we decrease, Keneged Parei Achag. Beit Hillel says we increase, Malim B'Kodesh, we always increase lights, they Moridim. Here's a final question. Turn to the next page. The next page has another machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel regarding the use of fire. Source 9 and 10. What bracha do you make on Matzei Shabbat when you recite Havdalah when you make a bracha over fire? My point is that I want to show you that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel don't have one machlokes regarding fire. They have multiple arguments on this issue, and I want to see if we can thread a connection between them. What's the machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel regarding Saturday night and the lighting of the Hanukkah, the Havdalah candle? What bracha do you make on it? Beit Shammai says what? What bracha? Bara Ma'or Ha'esh. Translated as thanking God for the original fire. What is the original fire? The original fire, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, is the first thing that is not created by God, not yet created by humankind, created in partnership. On the first Matzei Shabbat, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Adam and Chava how to create fire by rubbing two stones together. Fire is unique because it is the first creative act that is done in partnership between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and humankind, and Adam Chava. Beit Shammai says, every Saturday night, when you recite Havdalah, by the way, Havdalah is Kiddush over the week. Zachar et Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, says the Medrash Halacha, and then the Gemara, Zachreihu, we remember Shabbat, B'chnisaso, as it enters on Friday night, U'b'yitziato, and it departs. Havdalah is a Kiddush, where we call all the senses to highlight our responsibilities to engage in holiness during the week. Beit Shammai says, on Saturday night, you recite the bracha Bara Ma'or Ha'esh. You remember the original relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Adam and Chava. Beit Hillel says the bracha is what? That you should know. Bara Ma'or Ha'esh, focusing on the future fires that we will light. So here's the three P's. Here are our questions. Number one is, why is all the laws of Hanukkah put in the tractate of Shabbat? Number two is, what is Beit Shammai's connection between Sukkot and Nerot Hanukkah? And number three, is there a bifurcation or is there a separate component? Are these two arguments connected in some way, or are they to be viewed as separate arguments between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel? So Rabbi Soloveitchik suggests, and there's a little bit of Rav Kook in this development also, Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested the following. He said the reason why Chazal put all the laws of Hanukkah in the tractate of Shabbat is because Shabbat is a mirror image. Shabbat is a mirror image of what Hanukkah is. Shabbat, the theater of experience, is the private domain. It's forbidden for us even to walk in the public domain. The theater of experience of Shabbat is maybe the Beit Knesset and most definitely the home. On Hanukkah, the theater of experience is what? It's the public domain. You light lights into the public domain. You light, you have Chanukiah, a big Chanukiah in the public domain. I remember when I was here on the hills over here, there were these unbelievable, I don't know if they still do it, these unbelievable lights, they still do that?
Now
for Israel. Oh, okay, fine. So they have these, it's a public lighting. You don't do that on Friday night, right? The whole, until when can you light lights of Hanukkah? As long as there's traffic in the public domain. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik. How does one have, the Hanukkah is about the responsibility of every Jew to dispel the darkness in the public arena of life. To engage in the public arena of life and to change the public arena of life, but to do it through the prism, through embracing Torah values. How does one ensure that when one engages in the public arena of life, how does one ensure that one is doing it with Das Torah? Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, you can only achieve the message of Hanukkah if you have Shabbos in your life. If you have the Shabbos experience, the private, intimate, personal relationship with God. If your private space is solid, your private space is whole, then you can achieve that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that responsibility to engage within the world. But if your private space is not whole, you cannot calibrate your spiritual compass to be able to affect the darkness of the world with lights of Torah. It's only if you understand Shabbos. And if the Jew only is willing to embrace the Shabbos experience, only only willing to be involved in the private experience and give up the Hanukkah experience, a Jew does not understand his or her full responsibility about engaging within the world. A Jew must engage within the world. A Jew cannot live a Robinson Crusoe lifestyle. We cannot retreat. A Jew must engage within society. We cannot just live Shabbos. You have to live Shabbos and Hanukkah. Rabbi Soloveitchik explained that the reason why Chazal put the laws of Hanukkah and Shabbos is to highlight the sacred synergy between these two experiences. That a Jew cannot engage within the world without the Shabbos experience. And a Jew cannot just be content to have the Shabbos experience. Now, I have to be honest with you. Hopefully I'm always honest with people. But I think that at your stage within life, it is much more important to be involved in the Shabbos experience than in the Hanukkah experience. That does not mean you shouldn't light the Hanukkiah. I'm talking about from an existential, metaphysical, philosophical perspective. This is a time for you to fill up with that spiritual oil and to create the finest of wicks and the finest of oil. And this is not the time for you to engage within the world. This is the time for you to learn and learn and learn and learn so you'll have the capacity to engage within the world in the future. And I have to tell you, I tell that to the students at YU. It's not the time for you to do every single event, even every event that the CTF runs. It's not the time for you to do that. Your responsibility is to develop yourself so that for the rest of your life, you'll have the energy to be able to engage in society through whatever portal, through whatever experience, whatever profession, whatever you decide to do with your life, you'll be able to do it through the prism of Torah values. But the deeper message of Shabbos and Hanukkah, and the reason why Chazal put it in the same location, is to remind us of the energy that needs one to feed the other. You cannot have Hanukkah. You cannot have the beautiful lights of Hanukkah without Shabbos. And if we're only comfortable with Shabbos, we're missing the larger picture of what it means to be a Torah Jew. Says Beit Shammai. You know what? It is really scary when the Jew engages in the public world. You can lose your way. And I'll bet you, if we had the time, we could all go around the room and speak about people who've lost their way. So Beit Shammai says, when you light that Chanukiah, you should light it with the mandate of Sukkos, offering 70 sacrifices to the world. But at the end of the day, Sukkos, the final day of Sukkot, of Shmini Atzeret Simchat Torah, is about the private relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. You want to engage and create lights within the public world? That's what a Jew is supposed to do, says Beit Shammai. But recognize the threats and the challenges involved and follow the paradigm of Sukkos that brings sacrifices for all the nations of the world that at the end of the day reduces to one experience the unique relationship between God and Knesset Yisrael. The rendezvous that is created between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the engagement in Torah and Mitzvahs. It says Beit Shammai the following. Every single Matzei Shabbat, when we make Havdalah, when we make Kiddush over the week, when we call all of our senses and we say we're about to engage with the society again and step out of the Shabbos experience, when you light that light, which represents creation and partnership between God and Adam and Chava, between God and humankind, says Beit Shammai, make the bracha bara ma'or ha'esh. Remember the original relationship between Adam, Chava, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lest we forget that relationship and we, in that darkness, get lost in that darkness ourselves. There's no two arguments here. It is the article of fire, which represents a partnership between humankind and God. How does one approach that article? And Beit Shammai is concerned that when the human being enters into the public sphere, that the human being might lose their way. Beit Hillel says, as is always the case between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, you're right, Beit Shammai, in the Olam HaMS we paskin like you. But we don't have the luxury of your approach in this world. We just don't have that luxury. Ma'alim b'kodesh. We're always about lighting more lights. Ve'in moridim. And not decreasing. On Matzei Shabbat, we are to make the bracha of Borei Marei Ha'esh. Because we don't have the luxury of focusing on the past. We are about focusing on the lights that we will create in the future. And while there is danger in that paradigm, and walking on that tightrope, the net that we create that protects us is understanding the sacred synergy between Shabbat and Chanukah. It's understanding our responsibility to be involved with both experiences. And that's the argument between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. It's the argument about fire that was created in partnership between God and humankind. It's the argument about how we deal with the fact that we go into the public thoroughfare. And you know why Hallel is not put in the halachas of Tefillah, but as Hallel is put in the halachas of Chanukah? Because, to use more yeshivish terms, there are tzvei dinim. There are two paradigms, or two dimensions to Hallel. There's Hallel HaDibur, there's the Hallel of language, and there's Hallel HaMaisa. There's Hallel of action. The Neiros of Chanukah, the whole purpose, the whole mahut of the Neiros of Chanukah, as we say in the Masechet Sofrim, is Kedei Lehodot Ulahallel. They are about giving praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're about lighting lights in the public thoroughfare. It's not just words. It's not just rhetoric. It has to be actions. It has to be activity. Hallel in Tefillah only has one dimension. And while the Shulchan Aruch might put the laws of Hallel in the halachas of Tefillah, the Rambam, whose mandate is to celebrate all of Mishnah Torah, said the laws of Hallel don't belong in a place which only speaks to one dimension. The laws of Hallel belong at a location in which both dimensions of Hanukkah can be experienced. The Hallel of prayer and the Hallel of action. Lighting candles, lighting light in the darkness of society, in the darkness of the public thoroughfare, is pure Kedei Lehodot Ulahallel. It's pure praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the Rambam does not limit the halachas of Hallel to a location that only speaks about one dimension, the Hallel HaDibur. It waits till there is a chag that has both Hallel HaDibur and Hallel HaMaisa. That's what the Rambam does. And so to conclude, because I'd like to try to end on time. To conclude. There is a notion in throughout Tanakh and Divrei Kabbalah and Chazal in many other places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created humankind really with two sets of clothing that we have. We have the clothing that we wear. That clothing we buy, we order, our parents buy it for us. And then we have another set of clothing. They're the spiritual clothing that we wear. They're the spiritual garments that we create. So sasis v'ashem tagel nafshi belokai. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates for us clothing of tzedakah, clothing that are based on our activities, clothing that's based on our integrity, and that clothing looks as beautiful as the clothing that the Chatan and Kala wears. But that clothing is not created, cannot be purchased online or in any store. That clothing is created by our actions. That clothing is created by what we decide to do with our life and what we decide to do with our time. And so the question that I believe each and every one of us needs to focus on when we are about to celebrate the holiday of Hanukkah is the question about what do we want to accomplish in life? How are we going to make sure that all of our actions in life are kedei lehodot ulehallel? All of our actions in life must be to create an energy that allows us to be God's junior partners within this world, that allows us to represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. That's not just a mission for Chabad, as great as they do that mission. That's just a mission for each and every one of us. We need to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representatives in this world. And the only way to become HaKadosh Baruch Hu's representatives in this world is to evaluate our spiritual clothing, see where it's beautiful, and see where it's tattered and torn, and needs to be repaired. It is to evaluate our personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the celebration of Shabbat, see where we can improve that, and to evaluate our capacity to make sure that we get the message of our responsibility to engage in the public thoroughfare. And what decisions will we make in our lives that will allow us to play the role of having a Shabbos and Hanukkah experience at the same time? Those are only decisions that you can make. And they require you to evaluate what are the best places for you to be able to achieve that goal. So I want to wish you a Hanukkah Sameach and just hope that you, if for 5 minutes, just take the opportunity to ask yourself, how are you creating that synergy between Hanukkah and Shabbat? Then I will have accomplished my goal of sharing these words of Torah with you. And hopefully, as I saw from my classmates who sat not exactly in such nice chairs as you and tables as you guys have now, okay, not as nice, but beautiful, holy tables and chairs that we had, I see wonderful people who are real leaders. Some went into Avodas HaKodesh through being formal educators, and some went into Avodas HaKodesh by being what I would call lay Kodesh, by being holy Balabatim and doing holy work. But they always understood that message that they learned in this wonderful yeshiva of the Hanukkah Shabbos paradigm. And so whatever decisions you make, I hope that you will allow that to calibrate your compass, your spiritual compass, and that you will allow that to guide you so that you will not only be a source of nachas for this yeshiva and for your family and for yourself, but you'll be a source of inspiration, l'chol dos u'l'halel, a praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Thank you, Hanukkah Sameach.